land to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's articles of news for the week of the 2nd of November. It's
November.
Can you believe it?
Movember.
Yeah.
I cannot believe it. I literally cannot even believe that time has passed at the same speed that it always passes, and now we are currently in the month of November.
I literally cannot believe it either. I literally, you know, one of my favorite sketches of recent past on Saturday Night Live is that literally everything was literally, but I just was watching it the other night, and they did a sketch about millennials.
Missed it.
Which, yeah, I didn't think that you had. I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
So it's a soap opera, and it's called The Millennials. And this girl who's wearing her Lord hat and her boots and, you know, that whole millennial wear that
sure.
the kids do.
Kids these days.
And says, I've had this job for 3 days. Can we make me a manager? For whatever reason, the rest of the sketch, although equally as funny as that, that one singular line made me laugh so hard. There are a few millennials that work in a different department down at my work, in my day job, and it's like that.
Yeah.
It is so like that, and I just am, it boggles my mind. I'm like, yeah, we'll make you a manager. Hold on, because I've been here for 10 years doing the same thing. But no, that's cool. Let me see what we can do to get you a better position. Sure.
Well, it's because every position like it. Every Taco Bell or whatever that you drive up to says, you know, now hiring for managers. So everybody applies and they get a job and they're like, oh, I've trained. Now aren't I a manager? No, it's a ruse to get you in there.
Yeah.
To get a job.
A ruse. A Taco Bell ruse. Anyway, millennials, Saturday Night Live. Check it out. What else? What's new with you guys? Joni's here.
I'm here.
I've got this email that
Yay!
I want to read for you.
About Joni?
So a couple weeks ago, I shared the rest of this email. This is from Tammy, and this part was for you.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll read it at a later date, which everyone knows is code for he's not ever going to read that ever again because he's going to lose it.
Unless
but
you're me
you
and I say, hey, you said you were going to read that thing, and I really want to hear it.
And so I found it, which is
Yay!
Luckily I found it. But it also sets a precedent for future emails. I'm reading them when I get them.
Yeah.
And if people want to comment about it, they can comment about it when they get their next episode. So this from Tammy. I just listened to the podcast. I want to give my 2 cents, even if you don't want to hear from me, she says. But we do. Thank you. She says, I'm so sorry for Joni. Sorry, I don't know how to spell it. And for her being sick. I don't have Lyme disease, but I know what it's like to know that something is wrong with your body and don't know what to do. I actually was diagnosed with Hashimoto's disease, which is an autoimmune disease that affects the thyroid. Basically, you have no energy to do anything. You gain weight easily, and no matter how hard you work, you have a hard time losing the weight because your metabolism is all screwed up. You have a hard time thinking because it can cause you to have the brain fog and a lot more things. Once I got on the correct medication and the dosage correct, I felt 100% better, but it's something that I will have to deal with for the rest of my life. Joni mentioned CMV, which is cytomegalovirus, and it affects everyone. A lot of times you don't even know that you have the virus as it can lay dormant in your system. However, for those with weakened immune systems, it can cause a lot of problems and make you really sick and can mimic the monovirus. It's also a virus that can cause blindness. Oh, in babies, not Kyle. Okay. Blindness in babies. And other long-term effects if they are born while the woman has the active virus. Every pregnant woman is tested to see if they have CMV active at the time of their birth. My son has a kidney transplant and was 2 when he received the kidney. One of the viruses that can be life-threatening for him is CMV. Prior to transplant, he had not had CMV, and they did not know the status of the donor. He was watched very closely because the donor had the virus in the kidney. Okay, that's it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of medical. You can read the rest of the medical journal in there about
thank
her family.
You.
But it's from here to there.
Okay, thanks.
All right, perfect. So, there you go.
Yes.
And a precedent now set forth. Mainly this is for Rob because everybody else knows that I just read the emails whenever I get them. But so let it be written, so let it be said that from now on, I'll get the emails and read them as I do. Like this.
And we all asked, by the way, that even your bad emails, your mean ones to us, we want to hear them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And
we've asked Richie that all of us with thick enough skin want to hear them.
Yeah, because when we talked about it, there was a discussion of who should see all the emails. And Richie mentioned that sometimes he keeps the mean ones from us. so that our feelings, our little feelers, don't get hurt. Yeah. And
like he's our dad.
You do it for free. You don't want to be like, oh, cool, that thing I do for free, and people hate my guts.
Yeah, but you can't please everybody. And I think that
sometimes you just got to please yourself. Da 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 da. Do you know the song?
Yeah,
you gotta know the song.
I do.
Okay, because you're old enough to know that song.
I'm old enough to know almost every song
that's ever existed.
Uh-huh. Since the age of music.
Gregorian chants.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, so we like to hear, we like the emails and we like your feedback. And if you're a troll and you just want to be mean, maybe just don't.
Yeah, maybe.
You know?
Those ones we'll throw away.
I don't know. Some of those.
We can tell.
I may read some of those.
Oh, good.
You could be trolly to me if you'd like. I don't mind. Thick skin. You can beat up on me if you want. This email from Trevor. Trevor says, thank you for posting the article by Heather Worley. Did you guys see those? The two, they were just kind of quick off one articles at the
website. Was that the military one?
Yes.
Yeah.
He says, thank you for posting the article by Heather Worley. That's the sort of thing your blog could use a lot more of, Trevor.
Oh. Meaning
he
military
liked,
stuff?
No,
or
I think he just
liked positive
it. It was a
stuff?
Short, positive testimony. Hoorah.
Cool.
And then this last email, this is from Stephanie. Stephanie's husband, Matthew, writes for the Cultural Hall. And she contributed on the blog that we did last week about the 20 substitution words for moisture. Mm-hmm. Can we please stop saying the word moisture? And they offer some suggestions, which I like because a lot of times you have people that are like, will you stop doing that? Oh, yeah, what do you want me to do? Well, I don't know. Just stop doing that. Now, here's a suggestion. And there's 20. My favorite, the drizzle.
Ah.
Pray for drizzle. My nizzle.
I liked the diet flood.
Yeah.
We would like the flood without all the destruction, please.
Here's this email, though, from Steph. It says, listening to the latest articles of news, so that's October 26th that she's referencing, and you're talking about how you're unfiltered, speaking to me, and you think it's good, and as one unfiltered individual to another, I just want to scream. I'm going to scream this because there's 3 exclamation points. Yes! I've always struggled with the whole quote filter thing, and it's always really interesting talking to people being super direct. There's always this moment of shock, but then afterwards you can usually tell that people relax, realizing that they don't have to play the game, as it were, and in turn become more open and direct and leads to more open and honest conversation for all parties involved. Either way, it tends to cut through the shallow, small talk shield most of us tend to put up, which I think, says Stephanie, is great. Also, I think this approach to life is helpful in cutting out all the backbiting and snipping at people behind their backs. I can't speak for everyone, but I know for me at least, I'd prefer someone not pretend to be my friend when they can't stand me in reality. I hear a lot of people complain that a lot of Mormons, usually Utah Mormons, are fake and aren't genuine with one another. But then we complain when people don't say things like, when people say things that we don't like. So which is it? Because you can't have both, says Stephanie. Right now, there's a big push within Mormon culture for more church-wide transparency, and I think that's great. In turn, maybe we should also be pushing for more transparency as people. Obviously, there needs to be a balance so we're not all jerks to each other under the guise of being honest. But I think it'd be helpful for our culture to not always feel like we have to put forth this image and secretly compete with each other for who's the most righteous. She goes on. Studies have shown that the whole culture of trigger warnings and being hypersensitive to everyone actually makes depression, PTSD, anxiety, etc., symptoms worse. I feel like the same thing applies in the nice versus true argument. Maybe we as women wouldn't internalize and freak out so much about things if it became more normal and okay to talk about our weaknesses. Women in more blunt cultures can handle it, so why can't we? She says. Sorry, this is a long email. Basically, in summation... Great. Put your summary at the end, Steph. Thanks. I feel better as a person when I'm able to be upfront and honest with people, and I think we would all benefit from being more genuine with each other without being meanie butts. Keep being awesome, and thanks for keeping me entertained at work, Steph.
Meanie butts.
Hey, Steph, keep your emails to yourself.
Stop being a meanie butt.
I was trying
to
be honest and open.
She said there's a fine balance between being a jerk and being honest.
Yeah, but his balance is all off because he can't see and
that's right.
He gets vertigo and stuff.
Yeah. His depth perception of jerkiness. I can't see it.
I don't know. I crossed the line.
So what's new with you guys? What do you got?
You're looking at me.
Yeah, I'm looking at you.
I'm looking at you.
I really don't have
Which
a whole...
Which eye's looking at her?
I don't have a lot going on.
How's your health? People want to know about that.
So...
Because you got the Lyme test.
Right. So I took a bunch... I've taken a bunch of tests, and most of them up to this point have been like, well, this one would rule out Lyme disease if it is a certain way. And so they all come back inconclusive. Mm-hmm. Like, they can't say, yes, you have Lyme disease, but we also cannot say that, no, you do not. So they had I had to take this special supplement, which really revs up your immune system for 3 weeks. And it basically makes you feel like you have the flu, because when your immune system is fighting, you're tired and sick.
Sure.
So I did
Here,
that.
Take the flu pill.
Right. You already have mono and you feel awful. Take this other pill that's going to make you feel even more tired. Also, go on vacation and be a mom while you do all these things.
How are your kids and husband? Because it's
They're
be,
great people.
It's got to be hard. Right.
Yeah, it is hard. You know, my husband is doing a lot. He is very saintly. It's in his personality to be a doer for people. And so he very kindly keeps doing for me. But it's a stress. It's a stress when I know he's working really hard at work and he comes home and then like does dishes and stuff. And I'm just laying on the couch like, sorry,
but
you
he's
know,
gotta get it. He's got to get it, though. Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He gets it. And my kids are. Great. My
so
kids
it's you
are
beating
great.
Yourself up about it.
Well, any person out there, imagine all you can do for months is like really just lay around, and then when you know you have to go do something like pick your kids up for school or make some dinner or something, it's like a pep talk. You're like, I can do this. I can do this. I have enough energy. I'm going to down this energy drink and I can do it. Like, I've watched so much Parks and Rec. And so read so many books, and you know, and everyone's like, just take it easy. And I'm like, I've been taking it easy for so long. I feel like a non-person. So it's frustrating. It's really frustrating. But so I took that medicine, and then I went and did the big blood test that they send off to the special lab that only tests for Lyme disease, and it will be conclusive. Like, you do or you do not. And I don't know. At this point, I don't even know what I'm hoping for, because who hopes they have Lyme disease? But
we hope you find out whatever
right,
it is so that then you can
right,
be done with it.
Exactly. Well, and you don't be done with it. Lyme disease isn't curable. So you
but
just you treat
feel
it.
Better with it.
You can treat it. So that takes a long time, and I won't know for another couple of weeks. So in the meantime, I'm just trying to keep on keeping on.
You know what's fun about the big blood test?
What's that?
9 pints. They take 9.
Whoa.
Pints
it's a big
blood.
Test.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
They turn
yeah.
you upside down and they cut you on both wrists.
Yeah, yeah.
And you bleed out.
And it's kind of like a toothpaste tube. They start at your ankles and just start squeezing.
How many little cups of juice and crackers do you get for that?
You get food for a week because yeah. you have to stay in the hospital.
You get an IV.
What's new with you, Brother Kyle?
Had Halloween with the family and decided that,
with your family?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
With your kid?
Around, cause my, I had a sister in town and my kid was there and, ended up being all of us there and decided that all of my sister-in-laws don't care for me.
None of them?
None of them.
Well, how
no.
about your brothers?
They're okay. Yeah. They're, they lived with me for a while, so they're
no,
okay with
they,
it.
Cause it's interesting, kind of an observation that I've noted. My family, like the family I was raised in, we're in that point of changing now. Anyway.
Changing how?
Okay, so like when you live under the same house, you all kind of have the same experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now, you know, the youngest is 20, give me a second, 28. And so he's got a house and he's been married in the last couple of years. And now everyone kind of has their own thing. And where I always had kind of been like, oh, yeah, you know what? I can always go and pal around with my brother and we'll go blah, 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 you know. Now everyone's really entrenched in their own thing.
Yep.
That it's different. It's distance that I hadn't noticed until the last 6 months.
Hmm. Anyway. So I never palled around with any of my brothers, and it's rare that we do. The other day I went to a play, my brother's family and myself and my son. And it was strange. I don't know if they welcomed that, honestly.
Did they invite you?
Kind of, yeah. I said, oh, yeah, I'm trying to get to see that, too. And they said, you know, well, let's see if we can get tickets for all of us. His wife did, and she did. And I think now she's thinking better of it because I haven't paid them yet.
Okay.
I just realized. But,
so you're that brother.
Yeah.
But are you, you say you you think that they don't like you. Is this a story you're making up or is there something obvious?
I really think, and I think it's just over time they're getting tired of me. And maybe they don't get that. We had family pictures taken about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Whole family and kids and grandkids and everybody
really
with my parents.
Uncomfortable. It wasn't a great time, but we made it work.
Yeah, and my kid was way better than any of their brats. Mm-hmm. And so,
why don't they like you?
I don't know. They should like me. I'm way better than their horrible, horrible children.
I can totally see the.
Okay. So they sent out an email on Wednesday or Thursday or a mass text to everybody that said, hey, pictures are in. Everybody owes me $45 or something. And I'm like, whoa, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't want to be she just divvied it up through everybody and being a little bit sarcastic saying, you know, I don't want, you know, no thanks. I don't want one. But it's from me. So you have to figure it's sarcastic maybe. But realistically, $45 is over a week worth of food for me. And that's not. Kidding, that's
right,
what
right,
I need
right.
the $45 for. Mm-hmm. And she just went and, you know, had pictures and said, hey, everybody pitch in the same amount. I really don't want to pay it.
Did you really not
nor do
know
I want a picture.
Him?
No. No, this is a surprise to me.
Okay.
Hmm.
So rightfully upset, but you have to understand there's going to be some sort of cost.
So I sort of, I thought maybe they were taking them and everybody that wants them buys what they want.
Yeah, you get a package, like school pictures, right?
Exactly.
Everybody gets a picture because you have to.
That's what I thought.
And
so I didn't know that, so I just said.
The D package, which the person's like, cheapskate.
Yeah, 44 wallets, two 8x10s, glossy. And I didn't want any of those. They said, oh, but you look so good in it. I said, oh, you know, horse crap. I don't. I don't want any. I don't want a picture of all. Where am I going to put a picture of all of you?
Yeah. It's not going to fit on the dashboard. It's not going to fit in the storage unit.
In the back window of the Beamer? No. I don't want it. I'm not going to put it at my office desk.
Did you guys do a theme with what you wore?
Not really.
Was there tones? Different?
Yes, there was.
In the spectrum?
I didn't have a good, you know, my shirt looked terrible because I don't look good in that color anyway.
What color is it?
It was like a mauve, taupe, brown colors for the boys, and women had that with a highlight of red.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And stereotypical pictures out by a barn in the leaves. Oh, my gosh. It's awful.
Did you look good, though?
No.
You didn't?
I look like I do just now.
No, so not
I'm not photogenic.
All.
I am not. I look 90 years old at best. So then, at
but
Halloween.
You have the insides of a 12-year-old girl.
I do. Yeah.
Hold
inside,
on to that.
I feel great. So I'm fine. And a Halloween, you know, as people are coming in or saying, oh, hi. Hey. This one walks by me. This sister-in-law is like,
It's what she said?
Just kind of almost, And so one by one, I'm pushing them all away. I don't mean to.
Well, you should at least pay your bills. That'll help.
You know what? I'm going to pay her for it.
Tickets, pay for the photos.
I am. I'm going to pay them both.
Yeah. Yeah. So my husband and I instituted a policy about, I don't know, 8 years ago, where we finally decided we are never going to mix friends and business. Like, if we have a friend who is a realtor, even if there are really, really good friends and we are selling a house, we are not using them as our realtor. And if we have a friend who is a photographer and we need pictures done, we are not using them because money ruins relationships. It makes things weird. And when it's your family, if you owe your family money, just pay the money because it's not worth it. That's my
good
opinion.
Call.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit that way with my younger brother. We're all in the same cell phone plan.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're all in together?
Yeah.
On like a
family
plan?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Because it gets you some crazy deals on, like, data for super cheap. And I eat it up like it's cornflakes. Anyway, he hates me. He absolutely hates me.
Because you use up all the data for everybody?
No, because I don't ever pay him.
Oh.
So, like,
he'll
be like, you owe me for 4 months, and I'll be like, okay, I'll get you a check. Or, like, I'll get a paycheck from doing a hosting thing or something like that, and I'll just cash it and then give it to him then. Instead of being, like, a regular month to month to month to month, like everybody else in my family can seem to get it to him, I'm just like, I'm good for it. I'll get it to you. We'll figure it out. We'll be fine.
It's here. Money stuff and family is hard.
But he doesn't get mad about it. But he will, like, call up and leave messages. Hey, I'm waiting for you in the parking lot.
Why don't you pay him?
Well, because it's not ever convenient.
So,
because he and I do a bunch of stuff together, and actually what I'll talk about is I purchased him tickets to Garth Brooks. And he and his wife and my wife and I went to Garth Brooks this last week. And so I said, hey, you know what?
Who didn't, by the way?
What's that?
Who didn't?
Who didn't what?
Go to Garth Brooks.
Not you.
I didn't go.
Everybody except Joni and I.
Yeah. I like every type of music except country and like death metal.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. You go to Garth Brooks.
No. It's great.
No.
So I got his tickets and I said, I owe you for a couple months' cell phone bill. And he said, yeah. And I said, okay, don't pay me for the tickets. We're fine. And he's like, if I do this, you're just going to continue to not pay me towards stuff in the future. And I'm like, listen, I'm sorry. Let's just do it this way.
I went on a trip in the spring with my sister-in-law and my mother-in-law, and I coordinated it, and I paid for everything, and then they just paid me back for their bits. So my sister-in-law wrote me a fairly, you know, a significant check. It wasn't like, hey, here's $20. You know, it was her part of this whole big trip that we went on to New York. And I stuck it in my wallet, and then I forgot about it. And so, like 5 months later, I cashed it. And she was like, hey, how about maybe next time?
You cash it.
You know, like, yeah. Cash it. Like, yeah. I know. Money and family, I hate it.
She hates money.
Yes, I hate money and I hate family and I hate puppies. No, well, I don't.
Well, let me one other thing with me here that I about church yesterday because I went to church. I know, shocking.
You always go to church.
No, last week you accused me. You're like, whoa, you went to church today?
No, I said you look fantastic because I had never seen you in church clothing. That was the deal.
I said, well, church was late. And you're like, you went to church? All surprise, which
joke.
Is what everybody says.
It's a joke.
But so two things from church. One, I put on our Facebook page about a firearm in church.
Yeah, right. Whether or not you should bring firearms.
Yeah.
Feel comfortable if there is firearms.
Because it was a police officer, but he came in and his gun was on his belt. And for me, I don't care if you own a gun, actually. I'm here or there on it. I don't own one because I'm scared to death of it. Mm-hmm. I'll shoot my arm off.
Yeah.
Shoot my eye out, which really wouldn't matter. But I'll shoot something
except
important.
Your brain is behind your eye, so.
If he shot it right, he'd be just fine. Anyway.
But it scared me.
That he had a gun
in
church?
Yeah, this is a couple, 2 or 3 weeks now that I've seen him come in, and he's in uniform, and he sits down there.
So he's in police uniform.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's still, for some reason, it scares me to have it there. Because I'm, you know, sitting there trying to doze off, and I'm thinking at one point, am I going to hear a loud pop?
Yeah.
You know?
Some kid that's wandering the aisles goes up and reaches while he's falling asleep, reaches the gun, boom.
So it just made me a little uneasy.
So really, you're just upset that it messed up your nap time.
Well,
gave
no,
you
it,
some
it
anxiety.
Could, because if there's that loud pop, you know, during somebody's testimony, fastened testimony meeting, then it would have really...
Here's what I know about concealed weapons permit carriers for the most part. They don't care if it says you can't have guns wherever it says you can't have guns. Like, there are some universities here in the state of Utah where, like, it's allowed or it's not allowed or whatever the rule is. They don't care.
Yeah.
Like, the concealed weapons carriers, our building, our level... It says very clearly in our employee handbook, no firearms are allowed on the premises. People don't care. Hey, you want to see my new gun? Cool. Thanks.
I come from a family that really likes firearms. They like to go shooting, go to the range and hit targets. And I feel the same way. I feel very uncomfortable around guns. And I have a brother who's like a big time, you know, like libertarian and... you're going to be coming to me when the zombie apocalypse comes and I'll be protecting you, you know.
Yep.
Not literally, but you know what I mean.
When everyone has Lyme disease, you're going to be coming to me. They're trying to suck the lime out of your head.
And
lime meet the coconut.
oh my gosh. And I'm just really uncomfortable around guns. I'm so scared of accidents, you know, and my brother's like, if you learn to handle it safely, there's no problem.
Yeah.
I don't like them.
Yeah, but if I don't have a gun, there will never be a problem.
I know. My brother is like, what are you going to do if someone breaks into your house? I'm like, I don't know. I guess I'll get killed, but I won't have a gun in the house. I don't know.
Pull the sheets over my head. It works with monsters.
There's nobody in here.
I don't know. I don't even have anything near my bed. I'm trying to think of something. I don't know what I would do.
So your husband, no guns?
No.
What if he wanted? What if he said, hey, you know what? I feel really, it's really important and I want to have a gun in the house. How dare you?
No, I wouldn't. How dare you? I would be like, okay, then you have to get one of those special safes that will only open to your handprint or something like that. You know, like, we're not going to just have one sitting around where my kids can. I trust my kids, but my kids are dumb, like all kids.
No, yeah, kids are dumb.
Like my daughter the other day when we were camping, we were getting our tent put away. And we said, please don't walk next to the tent. You might kick sand onto it, because we were in arches, so it was sandy. And like, it's like she heard the words kick sand and she just kicked sand onto the tent. It was like milliseconds. She didn't even think about it. As we were telling her, please don't kick the sand, she kicked the sand. As I'm telling her, please don't touch the Wii with pizza on your hands, she rubs them on the walls on her way to the sink. I mean, I don't know. It's like a compulsion to do the dumbest thing. So,
No guns. Well, kids are the worst, so no guns.
And last thing, speaking of kids, from my church on Sunday, there were two baby blessings. Both kids, a boy and a girl, named Colin.
Really?
Both baby blessings now. And then somebody stood up to bear their testimony that was new in the ward, just to introduce themselves. And it's me and my husband and our son, Colin. Hmm. Three Colins Sunday.
That is weird.
Stop naming your kid Colin or Colin.
Just, that is weird.
I mean, it's a fine name, but maybe you want to stop now.
You
because
can pull up a name out of a book.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a busy weekend. Halloween was cool. Went to the University of Utah football game and
got in a fight?
No. I do have a black eye, though. That was Sunday morning. But Saturday night after the football game, we went to my wife does a fitness class on Saturday morning. And it's a bunch kind of a hodgepodge of random folks, right? There's young people, old people, in shape people, not in shape people, and they all do this thing outside where they're like flipping tires and they're, you know, smacking a sledgehammer on a oversized tire. Just
is this like an
stuff.
Organized thing, like a company business that's doing this or a person that's
So she signs up and does it, and one of the guys that's in it is probably like 50, 55 years old, and he goes overboard for Halloween. Like, he's one of those houses that, like, a couple days before, he takes work off, and he's got a whole graveyard, and there's a low-lying, you know, fog machine that he's made, and a woman in a casket that springs up when you step on the air pressure thing. But, okay, so all that, like, I've kind of seen that in people's yards before. His driveway, I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, but they have it at a couple of the haunted attractions here in Utah. The tunnel, where the tunnel moves around you and you walk on the
edge. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He made one of those in his driveway.
Awesome.
And so everyone has to walk through that to go up and get a full-sized candy
bar.
And
it's really disorienting.
Yeah, it's super disorienting. If you stay in there, you fall over, and it's awesome. It was the coolest
thing. Did it have, like, black light paint in it and stuff?
Yeah, and completely dark and strobe light, so you're... You know, you're having an epileptic seizure and you're dizzy anyway, and it was awesome.
Sounds like a great time.
Yeah, it was really cool. It made me wish that I did something, because then when we drove up to our house after we got done with all that and got back home to our house, and no lights are on, and the front yard has no decorations, and we get inside, and the house is dark, and we're like, good night, I'm tired.
Yep.
Made me wish that I'd maybe done a little of that. But the night before... Friday night, we went to Garth Brooks. He came and did four shows in Salt Lake over the weekend. People don't know Garth Brooks, about 24, 20 years ago, something like that. Country music star. but he sort of transcends country music. That's why I think that you should have gone. I have never, and I have been to a lot, courtesy of my day job and otherwise, I have never been to a show like this.
Meaning?
It was phenomenal. From the very beginning, because he doesn't have an opening act, because he's much music that people love to hear. He's like, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Garth Brooks, and now I'm going to play the next 2.5 hours, and you'll know every single word to every single song that I'm about to sing, and you'll love every single one of them because they're all hits.
He says that?
No.
Okay.
With his body, he says that. But then he does. He just sings. Starts from their thing, jumping all over. I went to the 10:30 show. He had already done a show Friday night at 7:30.
How does he maintain that?
I have no idea. Because that show...
I'll tell you how.
No.
Go ahead.
No. You could tell, but no. He would be a lot thinner if he did drugs. It went until 2 in the morning.
Are you serious?
And it was a completely full arena show.
And that was his second show of the day?
That was his second show that day. And he'd done one the night before, and he was doing one the next night. It was insane. Not a soul left. He did 2 encores, singing at the top of my lungs. So much fun.
But what if you're me and you don't know every word to every song?
It wouldn't matter.
It magically infuses through osmosis. You know the music just by being there.
And the love that you have for great performance.
Yeah.
Would transcend it. It doesn't matter. Honestly, it was so good.
I would have been
so
exhausted. My gosh.
Well,
sounds tiring.
The next day,
walking up the steps to the dental center, you would have been tired. You'd had to get a wheelchair. You could have sat in the wheelchair section.
Don't even joke. My husband actually suggests when we go places that I sit in the wheelchair, and I'm like we had to go furniture shopping. There's a wheelchair at RC Willie, and he's like, "No, really, we're going to be doing a lot of walking. You should." No, I crossed the line at sitting in the wheelchair. I'm not sitting in the wheelchair
for right now.
Yeah.
If I have to sit in a wheelchair, I'm not going. Not anything again. When I was pregnant, I had to sit in a wheelchair for some things. And I don't want to... It draws attention. Made me feel... Have a new perspective for people who are regularly in wheelchairs. Don't stare at them.
It's interesting, though, to me, because you tell me about your exhaustion and your, you know, even your depression and those things. And here, when I'm with you, I don't see any of that.
I know, so I am really good actress.
I am really trying to understand where you're coming from, but I'm like, why doesn't she just
He doesn't
like,
believe you.
Why doesn't she just act like that all the time?
See, that is the big problem, actually. Like, most people don't get it, because I am a pretty good actress. But, doing this today is going to be exhausting for me, and I will be in bed the rest of the day.
Well, thanks for doing it.
Yeah. Love you guys.
Love you. Let's take a break and do some actual articles of news coming back.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Hi friends, Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. Windows 10 is out. You might even see a notification on your computer to get a free upgrade. Hold on a second. Remember when millions of people upgraded from older versions of Windows and had massive pain losing precious data or simply weren't able to run the current versions of software they already own? Don't risk it. If you've installed the upgrade already or simply need help, be safe and bring your desktop or a laptop PC, no matter what brand it is, into any PC Laptops location for a 100% free evaluation, so you have nothing to lose. Why are we doing this for free? Because we want to impress you so much that one day you might come back and buy a computer from us. Please visit us at any one of our 8 locations right now, or call us at 1-877-596-SAVE, or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. PC Laptops, we really love you.
Is she a stripper or is she a go-go dancer?
All of it.
Man, that's a way to start the second half of Articles of News. Is she a stripper or is she a dancer? A go-go dancer.
A tiny dancer.
Hold me closer, Tony Danza.
That's right.
Coming back in 3, 2, 1. It's time for the second half of Articles of News. I wasn't going to keep that in.
I thought that you were recording right there.
I was recording right there, but I'll edit that out.
Shoot.
I'll that edit that out. Funny. It would have been. It was very. You know what? Maybe I'll keep it.
All right.
I'll see how loud it is. Okay. She wasn't speaking into the microphone, so we'll see how that goes. Second half of Articles of News, wherein we do actual Articles of News.
You can't lose Articles of News.
Hang tight. At the very end of Articles of News, I'm going to tell you a story about Elder Oaks being held at gunpoint.
Ooh.
Wow.
So that will be the end story today. It's a little bit lengthy, so get your story listening ears ready for that. Got some Mormons behaving badly. Got some of that going on.
Always.
Got some updates. Let's start there, I think. The update on the story about the woman down in Texas.
Okay. So we talked last week about there was a girl. Her name was Zoe Hastings. She was 18. She was on her way to what we assumed to be a missionary prep class, because that's about the time that it was. Or temple prep or something.
Yeah,
like
temple
that.
Prep. Something. Yeah. It was on a Sunday, but not in typical hours.
Oh, I thought it was like on a Wednesday or something. Whatever the case. Yeah, I think it was during the week because she also went to a store like Walgreens or, yeah, Walgreens.
Okay.
anyway,
there's a
her body. Her body was found, and so this is from ABC News. A man accused of abducting an 18-year-old Dallas woman while she was on her way to church, stabbing her and leaving her to die, was acquitted of sexually assaulting a 17-year-old girl earlier this year. So he was accused earlier this year of sexually assaulting a 17-year-old girl, and a different girl, and he got off because witness stories couldn't corroborate.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio Cochran, 34, is charged with capital murder in the death of Zoe Hastings, whose body was found October 12th near her vehicle, which was in a creek. The Dallas Morning News and TV station KXAS reported Tuesday that a search warrant affidavit executed for Cochran's Dallas apartment provided new details on the attack, including that she was stabbed. So the big news is that his DNA was found on her. So that's kind of pretty damning, but then it talks about his last case for which he was acquitted. His mother is quoted to say, "It don't sound like my son. He's not a violent person." Hmm. And so he is currently, let's see.
Probably being held, I would imagine.
Yeah, being held under like $2.5 million bail. And yeah. So he got acquitted of that other crime, but it doesn't look great for him. Zoe's father, Jim Hastings, told WFAA that he's relieved that an arrest has been made, but at the same time, that's not what we were most concerned about. What we're most concerned about is that our children are going to be able to go back to school and that they're going to be able to handle the loss of their sister.
Yeah. All right. Let's get this next story out of the way.
Is this another Mormon's behaving badly?
Yeah. And not that she was behaving badly, but
no.
The other guy was behaving.
Right.
These are
bad
not,
news stories.
Yeah, these are
bad
news stories. A man who voluntarily turned himself in for molesting a young girl pleaded guilty to 2 felony charges in Stafford County Circuit Court. Ian Barron, 41, of Stafford, was convicted of 2 counts of taking indecent liberties with a child. I'm not sure what that is. Taking indecent liberties.
I don't either.
I'm not sure. Look it up on your phone real quick, one of you guys, what indecent liberties means. He faces the possibility of up to 10 years in prison when he's sentenced in January. Barron was arrested in July after he went to his elders at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and confessed that he'd been improperly touching an 11-year-old girl. The abuse occurred between January 2014 and June of 2015. Olson said the elders told Barron to tell his wife and law enforcement what he'd been doing. So Barron and the people from the church contacted the sheriff's office about the same time he was arrested. Defense attorney Mark Murphy was with Barron when he turned himself in. Detectives later talked to the child and confirmed that, in fact, improper touching had occurred. Olson said it was the first time that he could recall a sex offender self-reporting his abuse of a child. Neither the child nor anyone else had talked about the abuse before Barron came forward. This abuse could have gone on a lot longer than it did, Olson said. Barron, who had no prior criminal record, was allowed to remain free on bond pending his sentencing. Among his restrictions is having no contact with the victim.
It's a lot. Saying indecent liberties sounds a lot nicer than saying soliciting a child to engage in any lewd fondling or touching of the person of another with the intent to arouse or satisfy the sexual desires of the child, the offender, or another. That's indecent liberties.
Ugh. So if there is a glimmer of silver lining,
he turned himself in.
Is that he turned himself in and that it could have gone a lot longer but didn't.
Yeah. I know. But I mean, it's awful. It truly is awful. And as my children grow up, I get really scared. And I tell them all the time, like, you are not allowed to have a secret with anyone. You have to tell me. Like,
yeah. There are no secrets,
you
really have to.
But I also understand that life can be super dark and we can be drawn to do really awful, horrible things. And you know, God bless the man for being like, I'm doing awful things. I have to be stopped. You know, like he stopped himself. Good for him. It's hard.
Yeah, if there could be a good for him.
I know. Like it's awful. It's bad. It's horrendous. It's scary. I hate it. But he did it of his own will.
Volition,
you know,
waiting to be
yeah.
Most wouldn't have. They would have been caught.
Well, right,
like,
right.
You know, like it said in the article, I can't remember a time when an abuser has ever turned himself in.
Right.
Blech. Something else? How about this BYU football story?
Yeah,
I thought this was great.
You can find the pictures
at theculturalhall.com.
Oh, do we have them on there?
Yeah.
All right, BYU football internet reacts to the Cougars' Halloween costumes.
Ew, I missed this.
Yeah, it's so funny.
For BYU wide receiver Mitch Matthews and his teammates, there's no age limit to dressing up for Halloween because they're all like 27, 28.
Yeah, because they're just, you know, they're BYU football players.
Matthews and his fellow Cougars imitated the stars from Remember the Titans for their holiday costumes, which wasn't as funny to me because I don't know what that show is.
It's a Disney movie. It's a big hoorah Disney football
movie.
Yeah,
Denzel Washington,
yeah,
right?
Great movie. So there's this picture of the Titans that is iconic as far as that football team goes. And then everybody on BYU's football team took a role from the Remember the Titans. And like one had to put on a wig and they had, you know, every, like, the exact positioning of everybody mapped
out. So were they
out.
Dressed up like the actual Titans or like the actors who were dressed up like the Titans?
I think the actual Titans.
Okay.
Yeah, like the exact picture was from the movie. And it didn't take long for people to take notice through the internet. Within hours, ESPN Sports Center, Bleacher Report, and even the NCAA tweeted out photos of the Cougars' Halloween apparel. Matthews and his Cougar teammates became internet sensations earlier this season after a Hail Mary pass against Nebraska. But it wasn't the first time the Cougars broke out phenomenal Halloween attire. Last October, they recreated the famous Utah movie, The Sandlot.
And they've got the entire, they got like down to the costume, the Sandlot kids.
Cool.
And it's awesome. It's like, yeah, there's the fat kid. There's yeah, there's.
And I hear next year they are going to do the 1980 T-Mobile team in the Tour de France. They're all going to dress exactly like Jan Ulrich and the whole team.
Have you seen the fat kid now?
Uh-uh.
You'd think he'd turn out ugly.
No, I bet he's handsome.
Yeah.
Is he a handsome gentleman?
He went the Neville Longbottom route.
Yeah. Explain that for people who don't know.
So the actor who played Neville Longbottom in the Harry Potter movies was like chubby and awkward and big gawky teeth and everything. And now he's like a model and he's quite attractive. So
that's what that means.
Yeah.
That'll be cool. I hope that they do it again next year. I have to remember to follow it. I think Matthews, though, is a senior, so hopefully the team will continue on with it for sure.
I'm sure they will.
What do you got, Joni?
Oh, what do I got? I'm, like, looking up Sandlot on my phone. Hang on.
I can stall for you if you'd like.
Yeah, do.
Did you guys hear about this? Elder M. Russell Ballard talking to the single folks down in Utah County. He said, "You beautiful girls, don't wander around looking like men. Put put on a little lipstick now and then and look a little charming.
I didn't hear this. I'm
it's
so glad.
It's that simple. I don't know why we make this whole process so hard. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hear that, girls?
So we said that. And the internet, the bad part of the Mormon internet, just took off with it. I don't know what to say.
Oh, actually, it wasn't the fat kid who got really, really good looking. It was the kid who played Smalls.
Oh, really?
Squints. He turned pretty good looking.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. Okay, what do I have?
Do you have lipstick on?
Yeah, do you have lipstick on?
No.
I look like
a man.
So it is sort of interesting, though. And maybe worth a discussion, because I think that you have to... I do think you have to take care of yourself, right?
Sure.
Everybody should.
Yeah, like everybody should. And I don't think that that necessarily means, hey, you need to put on makeup and you need to look this certain way and be polished. I don't think that's what that means. But I think... And maybe...
He reminds me of my dad.
Yeah.
My dad is of that same generation. My dad is an older gentleman. He'll be 80 next year. And he has a very traditional idea of men and women. And, you know, I remember he told me once as a kid that he would not hire a man who wore an earring, even if he were more qualified for a job than someone who didn't wear an earring, strictly because of the earring. And he makes little comments all the time, like, oh, that lady's pretty attractive for her age, or, you know, like, he has to make little comments. And I just think that there's a very defined role in the older generation mindset of this is how it works. Women, be pretty. Guys, be manly. Get together. Have families. That's how we roll, you know? And it's not gospel. That's just a result of him being part of his age group. And I take it with a grain of salt. I mean, I don't wear lipstick.
Yeah. I sort of thought it was funny a little bit, and then I completely understand where people are like, how dare he say that? But it's hard for me to not just get really mad at the people that get worked up, and it's like, he's the one that's setting back the women and all this stuff. It's like, no,
yeah.
I don't really think that's what he was doing.
No.
But if you can take it as a bigger picture. So let me go here for a second, and I'll undoubtedly get people saying terrible things to me. There is an interesting phenomenon. My father is in a bishopric for a singles ward, a 31 to 45-year-old singles ward. And he has asked me at times to help him. And so I have then, because of that, had interaction with the 31 to 45-year-old singles.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a common, not among everyone, but a common theme of giving up.
Yeah.
Among a lot of them.
Look right here.
Yeah.
Look right over here.
Is that the look of defeat that I see on your face?
But it is, it is either from, oh, I'm not going to ask because they'll just say no, or, you know, like they kill it before it's even begun. You know, well, maybe we'll date, and then maybe I'll ask her to marry me, and then maybe we'll even get married, and then 2 years from now, she'll find someone else who she wants to be with more and wants to get divorced, so I'm not even going to go on that first date. And it's like, okay, that's crazy. And then there's the people that are just like, that, in for all intents and purposes, and again, mind you, look at the pictures at theculturalhall.com. I'm not a good-looking guy. But for, thank you, but no, I'm not, I mean, I'm not, I'm an average looking guy who takes care of himself as much as he can, who doesn't, you know, I'm not ripped, but I'm not overweight. I eat stuff I shouldn't, but I also eat lots of good things.
You try and take care of yourself.
Yeah, pretty balanced for what I'm doing. But people who don't care, who make no sort of effort to be like, hey, you know what, I'm going to be, even if we're just within the confines of a healthy looking individual, not fit, not trim, not ripped, just a healthy person. And
own more than one T-shirt that I alternate the two throughout the week.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I was going to talk to you about. I've got one in my car from work. I'll give you another T-shirt.
Oh, good. All right. Three.
You guys.
But so I can't help but want to grab some of them. And granted, I may not know their story. I may not know their situation. And this may be super judgmental. But, like, I just want to grab people and be like, you have this idea of the league who you think that your partner will be a part of. Well, join that league, pal or gal, because you're not there.
I think the visceral reaction that I have to the Ballard comment that is difficult for me is it kind of trivializes people's singlehood and being like, if you just looked a little better, it wouldn't be that hard. Come on, people. It's not that hard to get together. Put on some lipstick and you totally can do it. Like people aren't totally... There are so many who are putting themselves out there and who are taking care of themselves, lipstick or not. And it makes it seem as though if you just present a pretty enough package, someone will pick you up. And for those people, myself included, who have known that they have never... I don't consider myself to be an unattractive person.
Oh,
I
no,
consider myself
Joni,
to
no.
be...
Joni, no, no, you're a Joni.
You
no,
are.
I said I don't
Very.
Consider myself to be an unattractive
but listen
person.
To this. Oh.
But I also have not... I know that I'm not that... Whatever, that tier of people who... you know, they're really beautiful people. And I don't even want to be that. I'm a pretty average person and I'm cool with it. But the idea that you have to be pretty to get picked up is really damaging. And so it's one thing to say, like, hey, don't be a slob. And it's another thing to say, if you're pretty enough, you can land a man. So it's hard for those of us who know that we aren't the "quote unquote beautiful people,"
but don't you feel like on some level you have to be attractive more than other people? Not necessarily physically attractive, but like you know you always talk about like the sense of humor, and that's kind of the joke for the gentleman, right? Oh well, yeah, you know I don't know how that guy ended up with her, and you find out that he's really funny or really charming or super kind or you know whatever the thing is. I feel like you have to have something that makes you go. Like if you're born with, hey, I got a case of the uglies and there isn't anything I can do with this, like I feel like you have to be like, I've got to offer something. And it's not that any individual who's a child of God isn't something to offer because you're a human being. But I feel like there's a little that has to be sort of culminated. God gave you talents, but he didn't, you know, make you he didn't give you those things without the expectation of you doing something towards it and making yourself attractive. You write it, or you talk about it, and you say, oh, you know, I don't feel like I'm super beautiful or whatever, right? But you are very intelligent. You're very caring, you know, very compassionate and those things, right?
It's the Richie compliment hour.
And so your husband, probably in getting to know you.
No, when we got together, I was hot.
Oh, yeah?
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. And then the kids. No, but you know what I'm saying? So your husband saw that and said, wow, here is this incredibly attractive thing about Joni.
Sure. And so why, like, that's kind of the point is what I'm, like, if Elder Ballard had said something more along the lines of, each one of you is beautiful. Find what makes you beautiful and work on that and it will all work out. Instead of saying, put on some lipstick. Hey, what's the problem here? It's not so hard.
Yeah.
You know?
I would have loved it if he would have started singing, that's what makes you beautiful. Oh, oh, you don't know you're beautiful. Wouldn't that be rad? An apostle busting it out? No, I'm not getting anything
no,
from you.
No.
That's one of your least attractive things is that you don't like my jokes, just so you know.
You could I like some of them.
Sure.
So, like I said, I'm moderately attractive.
You could, yeah. Okay, yes. You are moderately attractive to me.
Thanks. Ew. What's happening here?
And you're moderately funny to her.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
So what match made in
So if you want to be hotter to me,
kingdom.
Why don't you laugh a little harder?
shoot.
What else has anybody got? Anything?
I've got one from a story out of Provo. Provo, if you live in Provo, Utah,
you're going to want to move.
You are being instructed to brace yourself.
Okay.
Brace yourself. Do you want to know why?
What? Earthquake?
No. Nope. It's in anticipation of the long-awaited public open house of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints' new temple.
The Temple Knackle.
Mm-hmm.
Or Lex de Azevedo's Mistake, depending on how you want to...
The city is bracing for a stream of 900,000 people expected
to
visit the new temple.
Holy crap, they're expecting 900,000 people?
During the open house. Now, what I don't get is why, A, they're surprised that a bunch of people are going to come to a temple, and B, why so many would come to that little temple.
What's a big deal? Because it's restored.
Yeah. It feels novel.
Yeah. It's teeny.
So it is,
get
yeah.
people in and out pretty
That's
quick.
Why I'm not going to go, because it's so small.
You got to take your kid. Make the memories at last.
Yeah.
Give him something positive in his life. Hey, Dad didn't serve a mission, but maybe you could.
They're expecting 20,000 people a day for 54 days.
Oh, my gosh.
So what I'm going to do is take my kid to it, and we're going to set up a corn dog stand outside.
They have cookies on the inside of the tent, and they're so good.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
But they better have 900,000 of them. That's a lot of cookies. The public open house will begin January 15th, 2016, and run through March 5th. So it's going to be cold and wet while you're there, too.
Cultural Hall field trip.
Oh.
We'll do an episode down in Provo and then go see it.
It'd be awesome.
Jenny LDS. Molly, you're in charge of getting us tickets.
Yes.
Speaking of Jenny Molly.
Here it
I'm
is.
Not
the LDS Church will start
news.
Accepting online reservations beginning January 4th. Jenny
okay.
Molly.
4th of January. What? What's her news?
She might be it? Busy, but I'm not going to break it for her.
Tell me.
No.
Yes.
No.
I will text her.
But she, I don't know if she can't, you know what? I don't know if she's allowed
she
to yet.
She is.
What? Next time you see her.
Going to be having a baby.
No.
What? Getting
just
married.
Just next time you see her, ask her. Just ask her.
What? Am I supposed to ask her about?
If she's going to be busy during that time. During the Provo City Center Temple. I should shut my mouth right now. Jenny, I love you.
Okay. During the...
No.
I'm going to text her, too, right now.
No, you guys.
Jenny, what
ceremony.
Is going
I think I've ruined everything.
On.
Stop.
Hey,
let me tell
girl.
You my story.
Okay, tell me.
What?
This is crappy, but crisis averted. There's a man in Blackfoot, Idaho. 24-year-old man was indicted by a federal grand jury on Tuesday for unlawful possession of firearms, according to a news release from the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Idaho. The indictment alleges that Matthew G. Burgett, having been adjudicated as a mental defective and committed to a mental institution, possessed two firearms on September 24th, according to the news release. If convicted, the crime he faces up to 10 years in prison and $25,000 fine.
Oh, my gosh.
He disclosed to his counselor that he planned to act against the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Blackfoot Detective Unit, and Immigration and Customs Enforcement subsequently launched an investigation.
Wait, so what was he going to do?
He was charged with 6 counts of unlawful possession of bombs or destructive devices.
Cool.
And 1 count of a terrorist act in Bingham County.
That's not that cool.
So he was going to probably blow up the church or a temple or
is
who knows
a
what.
Of the church?
It doesn't say. Not on this one, anyway. But does he look like a member of the church?
Oh, you trust him.
But he had a whole lot of anger towards the church,
yeah.
for sure.
He's a really good example of why you shouldn't put ear gauges in your ear.
Yeah.
Or as I've said, why you should judge a book by the cover.
Yeah.
You know, it's really difficult. Maybe he should just wear a little lipstick and this would
and maybe...
maybe
with someone. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That went downhill real quick. anything else on that? Should we move on? Move along?
Yes, move along.
Elder Ballard... You know, old lipstick Ballard. I shouldn't have made that joke. Also spoke at the World Congress of Families this last week. It was a huge deal. Lots of people are like, that's a hate group. How dare they?
Isn't that where he said that?
No.
Oh.
The other thing was at a
fireside?
Fireside in Lehigh last Sunday.
Okay.
He says... And this is just part. You can get the entire thing at theculturalhall.com. Quote, the doctrine and theology of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints literally start and end with the family. Elder Ballard said marriage and children are increasingly marginalized in today's world as he extended an official welcome to the four-day International Family Congress, which has gathered in the United States for the first time and here in Utah. He said that Mormons take a strong position on the family and are dedicated to nurturing, protecting, and promoting traditional families because LDS doctrines state that eternal marriage and family are central to the Creator's plan for the eternal destiny of his children. So it was pretty good. It was a pretty good talk. Just essentially not anything that we haven't heard before. The church believes in traditional families, and here's why. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people got super worked up about the World Congress of Families being here in Utah. But they came and went without much consequence. So,
sweet.
Piano guys
live
performed.
And let live.
Stephanie Nielsen, she talked.
There's a few nut jobs there, but...
Yeah, well, there's extremes in any group.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, you got the Cultural Hall, for example, and then you got Brother Kyle. So there's that.
What?
You said extreme, right?
Oh.
What else you got?
Maybe my last one, an update on an LDS gentleman. We've mentioned before, a reality show person, LDS, from Idaho, on a show called 90 Day Fiancé, mm-hmm. where they put people who will not get married eventually because it's a train wreck, and they're engaged to be married in 90 days. Most of them are people trying to get visas to come over to the U.S.
So are you updating this, speaking as a fan? Do you watch the show?
I had never watched it until last night,
mm-hmm.
and I watched it last night.
And it's hard not to watch, right? Because it's so bizarre.
The sad thing was, I got down watching, and I watched, I think, 4 episodes in a row of... the polygamy one, mm-hmm. the dude.
The sister wives.
The sister wives. And then like 3 episodes of this so far this season. So I'm all caught up on this thing.
It's insane, huh?
It's horrible. And this
and
this poor kid.
And turn away from it.
Yeah, he was a missionary in, I think it was Hungary or Prague.
Yeah.
Prague is where he was. And met a girl there who was...
A go-go dancer.
She was a dancer, drinker, a partier. And you're asking for trouble. He
with a partier and a dancer.
Yeah,
good.
He brings
put
her
them
here
in that box.
And
people can't change. Good point.
And they talk about they go to a family party for the 4th of July,
mm-hmm.
and she's a little uneasy about all this. But I've seen the previews for next week. It showed it. It's not going to end well.
No,
she is not liking it. Actually, all 4 stories, although the rest aren't LDS, none of them are liking it.
She's the one that has to live with his grandma, right? Like, because he didn't want to live together, so...
Yeah.
But she's converted.
Yeah, she was baptized, a member of the church.
So she knows the rules.
Yeah.
Sure.
But she's not finding it so great to live the rules.
Yeah. There's the rules, and then there's living the rules.
They're in Burley.
Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah. So...
I'm telling you, I bet they'll get married.
I'll keep you updated. I'm going to start watching it now and try and...
You can watch it with the wife of the party. She loves that show.
Oh, does she really?
Yeah. Loves it.
We'll tweet back and forth about it.
Live tweet it to each other.
Yeah.
What do you have?
Okay, so this has been sort of like a wah-wah episode, but I do have some...
What?
I don't know. Lots of bad stuff, right?
Yeah, but that's not
not the episode, but just like the stories themselves.
Down news,
yeah.
That's not wah-wah.
BYU football players in costumes? That's not wah-wah.
Okay, you're right. You're right.
Adorable.
Lex Diaz-Avedo's mistake? That was hilarious.
Lipstick on pigs?
Yeah.
That's... Wait.
Oh, gosh.
Earrings on a pig.
Okay.
Sorry.
So why... What are things that Mormons are doing really well and the world is noticing? That's my story.
Food storage.
Yep. You're right. The chance of a cyber attack on America's power grids is high.
Inevitable.
And the nation is ill-prepared to face the catastrophic consequences, writes Ted Koppel in his recently released book, Lights Out, A Cyber Attack, A Nation Unprepared, Surviving the Aftermath. Koppel, the longtime anchor for Nightline, begins Lights Out by posing a hypothetical situation where such a cyber attack has occurred, leaving parts of America in a state of complete darkness with rapidly depleting resources. Koppel later asserts in his book that Mormons are one of the most prepared groups to face such a grim scenario. He devotes 3 chapters to the LDS Church and its level of organization, which he calls extraordinary. He flew to Utah to view firsthand the bishop's storehouse and to talk with members of the church as part of the research for his book. Koppel was initially only seeking a little church history and a quick visit to a local warehouse, according to his book. A call from President Henry B. Eyring, first counselor in the first presidency of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, changed this mindset. I didn't really understand the full scope of the church's preparations, Koppel said in an interview with Deseret News. President Eyring knew, and I did not, the scope of the level of preparation. He wanted to be sure that I got a full flavor of just how multidimensional the preparation is. So then he visited with Richard Turley, Bishop Gerald Cossé, I don't know how you say his
Cossé,
and the
I am Bishop
the presiding first counselor and the presiding bishopric, Don Johnson, who was still wearing his outfit from Miami Vice.
Yes.
I don't want to leave the impression that I came away from Salt Lake City believing that the Latter-day Saints are preparing for a cyber attack on the power grid. There's nothing specific about this at all. The church just has been preparing for generations for whatever disaster may come along. It has nothing to do with any particular crisis.
Yeah, because trouble's coming, pal.
Yeah, so he just
in
goes
one
on
form
and
or another, there's trouble.
He just says, no matter what you do, you're not going to be able to be as prepared as the Mormons because they've been preparing for generations. But here are some good ideas to start with, like basic things like food storage and water storage and get some money set aside and stuff like that. It's a very long article. Apparently, Ted Koppel thinks we're rad.
We are rad.
Yeah.
I'm going to get the chance to interview Ted Koppel in the next couple of days.
Awesome.
Wow. About that book. Knock on wood.
Didn't even know that.
Well, hope so.
So do you guys have 2 to 3 months? If there was a cyber attack right now, would you be okay?
2 to 3? I'd be okay for a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we'd be okay with food, but if we didn't have water flowing from our faucet, we'd be screwed.
I'd be okay for a month all around.
Yeah. Water storage is hard for me.
Sure.
Takes up lots of space.
Right.
And you have to rotate it so you don't have, like, 10-year-old water.
Mm-hmm. What year is this water? Oh, it's 05. Oh, that was a terrible year for water.
Seriously. Like you put it in plastic bottles and the plastic leaches out and I don't know.
You use water bottles. You buy water bottles.
I know.
That's what we do.
But then we use them.
Uh-huh.
Like we buy them and then we use
them.
I know. That's the problem we have is replenishing.
The replenishing part?
Yeah.
You're like, cool, look at all these water bottles. Maybe we should buy more. Nah.
Because they're heavy. Like, when I'm shopping by myself, I'm like, I should buy water. I'll buy it next time because I do not want to lift
you
the big
the,
water.
You get the bagger, boy.
Yeah, just have him put it in the back of your little electric scooter you're driving around.
You guys are severely underestimating my laziness.
And then you leave him in your car, and then your husband comes and gets him out of the car. Babe, water in the back of the car.
I know.
He's like, seriously, I just got done doing the dishes. Can I have 5 minutes
of
peace?
Seriously. What a saint. He's a good boy.
Did you see Anna's... check it out at theculturalhall.com. The About Us section has been updated quite a bit because there are a lot of people now working with the Cultural Hall that weren't before. Anna, the one who does our Instagram... Hi, Anna. She called you out a little bit.
She called me out?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't
Ooh,
see it.
Rare.
In her bio?
In her bio, yeah. She says, and I'm married to my hot husband who... Oh... Wait, maybe she doesn't call you out. She might call out Lindsay. She might call out both of you now, actually, that I think about it. But she calls out, it's either you or Lindsay. I hope it's you, because otherwise this story makes no sense. But she calls out one of the other girls here in the hall about her husband being better looking than... And now that I say this, I'm pretty sure it's she calls out Lindsay.
Because I read them all.
But I do say always say hottie haws with your husband.
Sure.
But then
but you go way after Austin.
Yeah. I think it might be Austin that she's talking about. But that's fine.
Probably.
That's really just a plug to go check out the About Us section at theculturalhall.com.
I'm going there right now.
All right, story time, kids.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Ready for this story? It begins. Hold on, I got to take the staples out. Let me give a little preface here. One of my favorite stories, says this article, told by a general authority, is the personal experience Elder Dalnay Oaks shared in General Conference 23 years ago. One night when he was confronted by a would-be robber at gunpoint on the streets of Chicago. And the story goes like this. During my life, I've had many experiences of being guided in what I should do and in being protected from injury and also evil. The Lord's protecting care has shielded me from the evil acts of others and also protected me from surrendering to my own worst impulses. I enjoyed that protection one warm summer night on the streets of Chicago. I've never shared this experience in public. I do so now because it is a persuasive illustration of my subject. My wife, June, had attended a ward officer's meeting. When I came to drive her home, she was accompanied by a sister that we would take home on our way. She lived in the nearby Woodlawn area, which was the territory of a gang called the Blackstone Rangers. I parked at the curb outside this sister's apartment and accompanied her into the lobby and up the stairs to her door. June remained on the car on 61st Street. She locked all the doors, and I left the keys in the ignition in case she needed to drive away. We had lived on the south side of Chicago for quite a few years and were accustomed to such precautions. Back in the lobby and before stepping out into the street, I looked carefully in each direction. By the light of a nearby streetlight, I could see that the street was deserted except for three young men walking by. I waited until they were out of sight and then walked quickly toward our car. As I came to the driver's side and paused for June to unlock the door, I saw one of these young men running back toward me. He had something in his right hand, and I knew what it would be. There was no time to get into the car and drive away before he came into range. Fortunately, as June leaned across to open the door, she glanced through the back window and saw this fellow coming around the end of the car with a gun in his hand. Wisely, she did not unlock the door. For the next 2 or 3 minutes, which seemed like an eternity, she was a horrified spectator to an event happening at her eye level just outside the driver's window. The young man pushed the gun against my stomach and said, "Give me your money." I took the wallet out of my pocket and showed him it was empty. I wasn't even wearing a watch I could offer him because my watch band had broken earlier that day. I offered him some coins that I had in my pocket, but he growled a rejection. "Give me your keys," he demanded. "They're in the car," I told him. "Tell her to open the car," he replied. For a moment, I considered the new possibilities that would present, and then refused. He was furious. He jabbed me in the stomach with his gun and said, "Do it, or I'll kill you." Although this event happened 22 years ago, I remember it as clearly as if it were yesterday. I read somewhere that nothing concentrates the mind as wonderfully as having someone stand in front of you with a deadly weapon and tell you he intends to kill you. When I refused, the young robber repeated his demands, this time emphasizing them with an angrier tone and more emotion with his gun. I remember thinking that he probably wouldn't shoot me on purpose, but if he wasn't careful in the way he kept jabbing that gun into my stomach, he might shoot me by mistake. His gun looked like a cheap one, and I was nervous about its firing mechanism. "Give me your money. I don't have any. Give me your keys. They're in the car. Tell her to open the car. I won't do it. I'll kill you if I don't. I won't do it." Inside the car, June couldn't hear the conversation, but she could see the action with the gun. She agonized over what she should do. Should she unlock the door? Should she honk the horn? Should she drive away? Everything she considered seemed to have the possibility of making matters worse. So she just waited and prayed, and then a peaceful feeling came over her. She felt it would be all right. Then, for the first time, I saw the possibility of help. From behind the robber, a city bus approached. It stopped about 20 feet away. A passenger stepped off and scurried away. The driver looked directly at me, but I could see that he was not going to offer any assistance. While this was happening behind the young robber out of his view, he became nervous and distracted. His gun wavered from my stomach until its barrel pointed slightly to my left. My arm was already partly raised, and with a quick motion, I could seize the gun and struggle with him without the likelihood of being shot. I was taller and heavier than this young man, and at that time of my life, somewhat athletic. I had no doubt that I could prevail in a quick wrestling match if I could get his gun out of the contest. Just as I was about to make my move, I had a unique experience. I did not see anything or hear anything, but I knew something. I knew what would happen if I grabbed the gun. We would struggle, and I would turn the gun into that young man's chest. It would fire, and he would die. I also understood that I must not have the blood of that young man on my conscience for the rest of my life. I relaxed, and as the bus pulled away, I followed an impulse to put my right hand on his shoulder and give him a lecture. June and I had some teenage children at that time, and giving lectures came naturally. "Look here," I said. "This isn't right. What you're doing just isn't right. The next car might be a policeman, and you could get killed or sent to jail for this." With the gun back in my stomach, the young robber replied to my lecture by going through his demands for the third time. But this time his voice was subdued. When he offered the final threat to kill me, he didn't sound persuasive. When I refused again, he hesitated for a moment, then stuck the gun in his pocket and ran away. June unlocked the door and we drove off, uttering a prayer of thanks. We had experienced the kind of miraculous protection illustrated in the Bible stories that I had read as a boy. I've often pondered the significance of that event in relation to the responsibilities that came later in my life. Less than a year after that, August 9th, I was chosen as president of BYU. Almost 14 years after that experience, I received my calling as an apostle. I'm grateful that the Lord gave me the vision and strength to refrain from trusting in the arm of flesh and to put my trust in the protecting care of our Heavenly Father. I'm grateful for the Book of Mormon promise to us of the last days that the righteous need not fear, for the Lord will preserve the righteous by his power. I'm grateful for the protection promised to those who have kept their covenants and qualified for the blessings promised in sacred places. Right?
Mm. Remind me. Elder Oaks, you said?
Yeah.
Elder Oaks.
Cool, huh?
Yeah.
Because he could have taken him. I don't know.
Or he could have got shot.
Or he could have got shot.
I really hate to immediately jump to cynical, or not cynical, skeptical, I guess. You know, when he said, I understood what would have happened if, you know, if I continued on this course and I didn't want that to happen. Having not really ever experienced anything like that, I wonder if... I don't know. I don't want to, like, mess up the coolness of the story. But, like, how could he know?
In the future?
Like, how could he know? Or was it just, I realized this was something that could have happened, and I didn't want
that. Or the very reality of it could happen. Is that what you're saying? Like, maybe he didn't know, oh, yeah, this is exactly what's going to happen.
Right. Like, the way it's framed in the story, it's almost like I had, like, a vision of the future or a premonition of the future or something.
Do you feel like you can have that? You're saying you've never had the experience of being able to, like, see the future, but do you believe that people have that?
I'm not saying it's not possible. Totally not. But I'm saying there's no way to know. And in my... That's where I'm struggling in my own life right now, is people bear testimony about how they feel about stuff, but unless you've felt similarly and can, like, really relate to that, I don't know. It's just words.
Right? It can be, for sure.
I'm ready for some premonition of my own, but I'm not as righteous either, so, as Elder Oaks. Because it's a competition.
Yeah, because that's what Jesus is like. Jesus be like, all right, everybody, Mark, you totally just spat on me.
I know, I did. That was gross. Because you made me laugh. Yeah. Way to go.
Yeah.
Do you think he's attractive now?
Yeah, I think he's attractive. Okay. I already did.
Because he laughs at your jokes?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Thank you for getting it.
Don't I laugh like more than anybody?
Yeah.
I laugh.
No, you do. Because it's a competition there, too.
It is.
Yeah. No.
Hey, I need a win right now, okay?
I'm going to help you out. I got a gun out in my car. When we're leaving here, I'm going to point it in your stomach.
And we'll see
where it goes.
We'll test it out.
Let's see what happens.
Thanks for taking that really great story.
No, it really was awesome. It was, and my heart wants to be all in believing every bit of it. I believe that he was protected. I believe that.
But you get your own. That's the thing. Of course you're not going to feel it like he feels it. But
it's a line talking.
Right?
That's kind of the point, yeah.
You get your own experience.
I'd like it.
Look at your kids.
They're great.
Right.
Yep.
Isn't that part of it? Can't that be?
Kicking sand and wiping pizza sauce all over?
No, they're so great.
But, I mean, really, can't that be a thing? That's something.
Sure.
That's something. That's so dangerous. I've learned that with my kid. You know, my kid's a senior in high school, and some of his friends are like, I'm going to this college, and I've already been accepted, and I'm already doing that. And it's real easy as a parent to look then at your kid and be like, hey, idiot, your friends are doing this. Why aren't you here yet? And that's not how it works.
I know.
Let me give you a huge parental lesson, everyone. The sooner you can, for yourself, stop comparing yourself to other people and for your kids, because you'll do it. You'll do it. You already do it.
Yeah, sure.
The sooner
it's inevitable.
The sooner you can not compare your kids to other kids, you'll be phenomenal.
And I didn't mention what I said in any way to, like, detract from the story, but kind of speaking to Stephanie's point at the beginning, trying to be a little bit transparent about myself, that those stories used to be so faith-affirming for me, and now I immediately jump to where the hole could be, and I don't want to be there.
You need your own.
Right.
You'll get there. Praying for them.
None of your beeswax. You just got to wait for it.
Yeah.
You can't pray for tragedy to happen and somebody else stick a gun in your stomach.
Yeah, I know, I'm not.
Please bless that it'll be a 9mm because that's scarier than a...
Okay, so here's a legitimate question that I'm wondering. Do you feel as though, you know, because he mentioned at the end that this all happened before he got called to be president of BYU and then all the subsequent things that have happened to him since. Do you feel as though, like, God already knows who's going to be what, and so the people get, like, a little extra boost? Or do you feel like the people who are so faithful get the extra boost, and then because of their faithfulness, they turn into those people? Like,
yes, that one.
Okay.
I don't think it's predetermined.
Yeah, that's kind
but
of
what about the noble and great ones?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and there's that whole estimate, or not estimate, what am I saying? That whole idea of... like Joseph Smith called before,
right,
to do what he was going to do. I don't know. I don't know how to justify it. Because I know that, like, today I could go kill people or be an adulterous, you know, whoremonger, which I would do just so I could be called an adulterous whoremonger, you know, that would completely change the trajectory of my life at this point.
Right. But would if I, never mind.
No,
this is
on.
Getting pretty intense.
Get here.
For me personally, where I am at, I'm in this weird limbo space where I'm not rejecting faith at all and really, really hoping for it, but at the same time, not having the types of experiences that I have been taught I should be able to expect. And so I'm like, what is it? What's real? What are we saying that's real, and what are we saying that just makes us feel good about it? And if so, I were to right now suddenly just you know, change through my will, not through any kind of, like, angelic experience or something, just be like, you know what, I am so in, and I will give everything to everything, and I will be as amazing as I can, and I'll put my faith into God's hands when I face difficult experiences such as this, Am I granted little peon like me the same kind of experience that he had, or did he have that because he's Elder Oaks? That's what I want to know.
I think.
Yeah. I know. I told you it's getting a little deep.
No. I guess I would answer that you get what you need. So if you need something like that, then yeah.
I don't need this much. I feel like I get way more than I need.
Like trial-wise?
Yeah. In all honesty, I do.
As far as, like, affirmation of your faith or trials?
Both. I mean, well, testing me, trying me. Mm-hmm. And it's just gotten really old.
Yeah.
This is, I'm serious. I say it funny, but I'm serious. I'm really sick of it.
You're like, have I not proved myself yet?
I'm sick of guns in my stomach.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah.
But do you feel guided and led through the guns in your stomach? Or that you're just getting through it?
I'm just getting through it.
But maybe just getting through it is kind of that, you know, affirmation?
Maybe, yeah.
Not dead yet kind of a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you didn't get shot. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, I don't know.
Sorry.
Listen, take it from me. Life's not easy, right?
No.
At all.
It's not for anybody.
Mm-mm.
Even the people that person,
like,
right.
My wife made a comment about some people in our ward, and she's like, I don't really like those people. And I said, you know what? You know they've got stuff.
There is a woman in my ward who I swear does not. Like, she's the most epitome of everything that you would expect a great Mormon woman to be. But in my mind, I know she does. Somewhere she does.
She's got to have.
There's a few people that I don't think they do. Mitt Romney. I don't think he has really any serious problems.
Right. Having your whole life broadcast for the whole world and being scrutinized and criticized.
I'll trade him. I'll take all his money.
That's
his
thing.
Yeah. He loves that.
Everybody's got a thing.
I know. Deep, ugly things.
That's why you can't. And that little bastard Facebook makes. I know. Listen.
You are correct where you're going.
Makes it horrible.
Yes.
Makes it so horrible for people and in order to feel good about themselves or even just enjoy what they've got. Oh, look at what they're doing. Why can't I go on vacation all the time?
Look at me on my boat. Yeah.
Oh, they've got the cutest house decorations. Oh, the kid has the cutest Halloween costume.
I wish I would have done something to my yard for Halloween because my cool neighbor did and I didn't.
Now, if you're friends with me on Facebook, which both of you are, I make you feel pretty good about yourself, don't I?
Look, I can read this, so that's already a leg up on
Power. Look, I'm standing on the podium, and I'm totally fit and healthy, and I won this race, and I don't even give a crap because I'm so awesome
and
that I don't even care.
And how often do I do that?
On the top podium?
No, I'm not saying that. My point is not that you are boastful about it, but even you, Kyle, who feels like everything's going crappy in your life, are winning at other stuff that other people aren't.
Name one.
You are totally healthy.
No, I'm not. My eye is falling apart.
Okay.
Okay, that's part of your health.
But we're not getting into this because you're very healthy.
My back is jacked up horribly because I'm old. So, yeah, I'm in terrible shape.
Great.
I know.
So the healthy guy still has health problems. What do I have to look up to, look forward
but
to?
See, everybody's got their thing.
Yeah.
You know. I'm totally not trying to be a downer. I'm trying to work through stuff.
No, but I think there's faith in everybody has their thing.
Yeah.
Make a Lyme Ricky out of Lyme disease. That's what I think you should do.
That's pretty awesome.
Might be my favorite quote from today. Let's end it right there. We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
We hope that when the time comes, you can travel home in safety.
We hope if you're sick or afflicted or have Lyme disease, you can regain your health and listen next week.
In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row
of the cultural hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row.